this class about boundaries, about lines. And what I thought I'd do to start off is I'd like to share with you an image and get your response. It's kind of an interesting image. And so, can everybody see that? Not that one. Stop share. Still trying to work this out. Let's see. Share image. So harmony is no longer a part of Gloria's belief system. Mark, can you see that picture okay? Just give us a thumbs up. Oh, yep, cool. So it's when I first saw it, I thought that's a very funny cartoon. But I'd like to, in the chat, if you can just type in how you respond to that particular cartoon, that it's Mara. Oh, harmony is no longer a part of Gloria's belief system. It certainly is interesting, doesn't it? And she's got the defenses up, and she's got the boundaries up. She's got the, yeah, I think, yeah, she could be a very lonely person. But let's stop that, and I'll get back to sharing what I'm going to be talking about. So today's class, I'm going to be talking about an interesting diagram that I've learnt many, many years ago when I was pastoring, and I was seeing a psychologist as part of my supervision type experience. And it's called the I We work model. And I'm just going to try and change my view here. Yeah. So if you've got a piece of paper and you've got a pen, I'd like you to sort of follow along what I'm going to draw here on my clipboard. And he's talked about how we have three basic components to ourselves. The first one is the I. All right, so there's the I. And then there's the we. And the we is all our relationships, or actually not all of our, but our primary relationships that we really actually connect and well with. It may be our spouse, our family, a few really good friends. All right. And then there's the work. And when I'm saying work, it's not just paid work. It's voluntary work, it's chores around the house, it's all sorts of things that we do that require energy. And he would draw three circles around those three particular, and it'll be looking like this. It'll be like that. And you can see that even with my rough sort of rough drawing, they're pretty similar. They're pretty similar in size. And it's all about energy. Now, I would also add another thing to this, and I'd say God is part of this picture as well. Now, it looks pretty good. And when I'm talking about the I, is I'm talking about you as an individual, your likes, your dislikes, your interests, everything that is quite particular to you. All right. Now, I was thinking about this the other day. It's a really good model. And what often happens, though, is that we've been working with people that maybe have a mental illness, or they've got a disability, or they've got a huge need. The work, our little eye here, can become shrunk to by the energy of the work. And this was his model, was that the energy that is needed to look after that particular person or care for them actually comes out of our I and our we. and we get shrunken and it gets tired and the energy gets less and less and less. All right. And so he would say, we need to work on the I. And all these lines here are what we call boundaries. The boundaries between myself and in particular others, my boundaries between myself and the work that I do. Sometimes the work can just suck the life out of the I. Don't we all know that? Now, I was thinking about it the other day. I was thinking back in Genesis, right at the very start, what was it like? What was it like between all those lines? And I would say that there weren't lines. There was I, there was we, there was work, and there was God. It was like that. All right? No lines. The only line that was there, the only boundary that was there was, say, was when God said, don't eat of that particular tree because you will know the difference between good and evil. But back in the day, there was complete intimacy, between all of these things. It was perfect. And actually, I believe we still have the smell of Eden within our nostrils right here and now. That we still long for that type of intimacy that was there. And it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so what I still have that sense of desire, sense of wanting to know people, and just in that same way of into me see. And it's that place that where we get messed up with boundaries and lines because we are actually living in a world that is like that. All right. That has got lines, that has got boundaries, that has got problems. And but I'm still going to take kind of responsibility for who I am. What is my energy? Where am I meant to be going? What is meant to be helpful to me and to the people around me? What is my calling to, from God to actually integrate with the broken world that is there? So let's focus for a while on the I. All right. Who are you? What is your I? What is your interest? Who are you distinctly from anybody else? And so what I've got to, what I would like you to do is with a piece of paper is to actually answer this question here. All right. And I'm going to give you a few minutes to work on this. It's this question here. What does your I look like? And I have put into this a little quote from Dr. Seuss. Today you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive that is youer than you. Now, to give an example, I have a friend who was a counselor. He's retired from counseling now. And he liked to go and shoot possums. Possums are a major pest here in New Zealand. They wreck trees, they wreck native wildlife, and they're a real pest. And he would go out and shoot possums. Now, he's a counselor, psychotherapist. He's meant to be Mr. Gentle type person. But no, this was his eye. This is what he liked to do. He also liked to go fishing, and it was him. For another person, it could be something completely different. For another person that I was helping, they really enjoyed creating card making and scrapbooking and that sort of thing. And as I was helping them, I encouraged them in that field. And they really, really started to grow because they're actually caring for how they were made within their eye. And so I think a few weeks ago, I wrote a blog post about this topic, one of these topics. And I said, imagine yourself lying outstretched on a big piece of paper, and you someone traced a line around your shape, much like the shape that we've got on this picture. And then you were asked to fill in as much detail about you as possible. So it could be things that you really like hot foods, or it could be that you really don't like hot foods. It could be the fact that you enjoy picking flowers. It could be the enjoy, you might really enjoy fixing up old vintage cars. Anything at all that defines you, who you are, what is your I? All right, so I'm going to give you 6 minutes and you can fill that out. And if you want to come back and put some questions in the chat, or chat, even chat now, just pop something in the chat if you want to. All right, go. All right. So how did we get on with that particular exercise? If you'd like to share something in the chat, that would be really helpful. You don't have to. But let's stop that particular stop share. There we go. Back here. Still learning about Zoom. So is there anything that any of you would like to share in the chat? I won't mention your name. For me, okay, if I look at that particular question, what does your eye look like? Well, I've got some interesting things in me. So I quite like my gardening. I like getting out there and picking beans, particularly at this time of the year, because there's just starting to come in, and I'm going to be able to freeze them and have them in the winter time, and they're going to be yummy. I love them fresh right now when I can be munching on them, and I have friends come around for dinner. I can fresh. I just picked these right from the garden right now, and I love my tomatoes. I've been picking lots of tomatoes and bottling or freezing them, fresh tomatoes. I love. I've just learned the enjoyment of going for a swim. And I live right near the beach, so I go out for a swim, try and get out for a swim most nights. It's beautiful here in the summertime. These are all things that I really, they're part of my eye. And you will have things that are really part of your eye as much as I do, and they make up who you are. And it's a beautiful thing. Now you may think, good. Someone has said nature, plants, health, games, laughter, family, nature, animals, exercise. Yeah. And I'd encourage you to actually even get more specific about those particular things you said there. So, nature, what is it about nature that you really like? What plants do you really like? Games, are there particular games that you really like to enjoy and do? Are there ones that you don't? What animals are your favorite animals? See, what I'm trying to do is really narrow it down to define who you are as different to maybe somebody else. So someone has said, I have lots of interesting emotions. I respect other people. I'm creative. Love everything the Lord has made. I'm very blessed. Absolutely, that's a good response. Again, I would encourage you to really hone it down to being even more specific. So if you were to, got that big piece of paper and you were stretched out and people, drew a line and you had to fill it all in with words or pictures, what would be the little things that you would say about who you are? Very specific. I like Chinese food, but I don't like Mexican. Yeah, very, very specific to say who you are. Okay, so later on, you can actually do this exercise and you can actually expand on this more. I think it's a very important exercise to do and to say who you are. So if you remember, we're looking at this model of I, we, work, God. So we've been covering the I, and that's really the basic, most important part of learning about boundaries and learning about lines is to know who you are. Another aspect is, of course, is learning about God. Who is God? Now, I've come to very much a conclusion that God is like a diamond. It's a diamond of multiple facets, multiple facets. Of I learned something new about God today. Another facet, like on a diamond ring, it's got lots of little facets you can see. And so when we start to learn about God, we start to learn about ourselves as well. All right. The next part is the we. Who are the significant others for you? Who are the we? And like I'm talking about really people who really get into your eye heart. So it could be your family, it could be a couple of very close friends, it could be your spouse. And it could be just someone very close to you. It's not a lot of people. It's not crowds and crowds of people. It's just a few special people that you let into your into me see. And for me, it is my girlfriend that I have, and she's online this morning. And I do have very close friends that I let into myself. Who are those people for you? It's not everybody. Who are those people? And by the way, another good question is to say, if we were to do that exercise of, drawing a big shape around them and asking them what they would, what's their agreement there? Who are they? And we could do this, and we could say, so tell me all about you. I want to into me see them, all right? And you start to get to know their little differences, their little enjoyments, their what they like to do, what are their passions, and we can actually appreciate them. And the next area is, of course, the work, getting to know the work. And I said again before that it's not so much your paid work or unpaid work, it's everything. It's the chores you do, it's the banking, it's the everything. What is it that you do? What is the work you're involved with? Originally, God gave us work to do, and it was to care and create, name all the animals. It must have been a task. What was the work? What is the work? And it'd be good for you to actually define, okay, what is my work? It's not just the actual job that you do, but it could be all sorts of things. If you were to draw a picture of your work, much like that silhouette, what would it be? And so when we're talking, why we're talking about all this is because in between all those lines, those are lines, all right? Those are lines, those are boundaries. This is where I am, this is where they are, this is where the work is, and this is where it all merges. And sometimes they merge too much to be in somewhere else. Too hard. Too hard. And we don't live in Eden anymore. We're a long way from the garden now, but we can still smell it, can't we? And I like, and if you can write this down somewhere, and you can watch this on the recording later, it's a little phrase that I came up with. We are broken people living in a broken world where broken world choices and decisions are made. But God is in the business of making everything new. So we wait, work, and hope. I'll say that again. We are broken people living in a broken world where broken world choices and decisions are made. But God is in the business of making everything new. So we wait, work, and hope. And all of you would know that, and this is not a perfect diagram. This is not, it flows and moves around, and sometimes your eye is really tiny, and sometimes your eye is big. And sometimes the demands of others can really drown you out because we're all broken people living in a broken world. And we don't see each other's needs purely like it was of an into me see. And we often aren't able to express our needs to others. We don't even know them ourselves completely. But for some of us, and I think for those of us of you that are taking this class and are watching the recording, because you have chosen to do that, I think you probably can still smell the Garden of Eden in your lungs. You still see the needs, and you want to help, you want to heal, you want to care, you want to be a source of help for others. But so often you feel like you may well be left behind in that. And there's a sensitivity in you that is possibly seen by others, and others come to you for help, and it's either used or abused. or it's affirmed or nourished, or it's just kind of like, oh yeah, they're really helpful, I like them. And so it's a tough place. And often I've found that people who have been abused in the background, in their past, they've often don't see any value in their eye, right? They feel like they're basically a worm, and they've been treated in such a harsh way, that they've kind of been what we call dehumanized, so made something less than human. And there's a whole story basically around the story of the dehumanized man or the Good Samaritan, where he is robbed and beaten and left for dead and taken. Everything was taken from him and to being a nothing, all right? And then for some people, it's the abuse is kind of like a secondary factor for them too. It's like I remember taking someone on a drive, and we were driving back to where to another location in the city, and across the city I could see this heavy rain cloud pouring down with rain, and I said, look over there, it must be really heavy rain. And they couldn't understand that I would know that it was raining over there, because they had never been taught that dark clouds with heavy looking, they'd never been taught that would be significant to a rainfall effect. And I was shocked that they'd just never been taught that. So for some of us, the value of the eye is because we've been abused. We've lost that sense of value. And so it's really important to define the shape of you. And as I've said, I want you to work on that, define the shape of you. For me, one of the big factors in my journey is that I discovered my Myers-Briggs personality profile, which I'm an INFJ. And when I found that out, it answered so many questions about who I am, what I do, why I do what I, whenever I do. And the work situation I was in, I felt like I was a round peg in a square hole, and the square hole was crushing in around me and wanting me to become square, but I was always going to be round. And so that was part of my eye. It's like, oh, well, if I stay in this square confinement of a job, it's going to crush me. And the person that I did this profile, INF done Myers-Briggs profile, said the same thing. This is going to be a hard place for you to be in. And so the next day, I actually quit and got out and started to work on other things in my life. So really important to define who you are and what you're all about. The next thing I'd like to talk about is, can you express those lines to others? So, for example, a recent thing for me is I really, really believe in the importance of having one day off a week. And the Bible talks about this as a Sabbath. So it's a complete day for rest. And so I don't do any work. I don't engage with any commerce. So I don't go in any shops. I try and make it as a day where I don't even cook. All right. I try and prepare a meal beforehand. So it's given over to relaxation, having fun, going to a place of worship, spending time with friends, just chilling, no working. And it's really important to me. Can I express them? And so I think it's very, very important for you, if you look at that picture of the eye that we've been talking about, are you able to express that to others in a tangible and tactile way? So it could be writing, this is who I am. This is what I like. This is. Now you think, well, everybody knows that. Well, actually, not everybody does know those things. If I don't say to people on that, hey, Sundays are a special day for me. I really don't want to go to the shops. If I don't say that, well, they might just expect that I'll engage with that. So I need to be able to tell people that. So for another factor for me is another a line that I need to express and say this is the boundary line for me is I really do like to go to bed at around 9 a.m. 9 p.m. not 9 a.m. around 9 p.m. Now look, sometimes I don't get there at 9 p.m. Other factors come in, and so I'm flexible, but I do like to get to bed around 9 p.m. And so I've got enough sleep and ready for a good day ahead. Here's another factor about me, a line. I like to have a shower each day. Not everybody does that, but for me, I like to have a shower each day and feel clean. I like to actually have a shower before I go to bed. Now, that's going to be different to a lot of other people, but often I work during the day in hot, dusty, dirty environments. And so going to bed with yak all over me, it's not a good thing. So it's another lie. It's to say, I like to have a shower before I go to bed. The point is that you're not a marshmallow. You're not a marshmallow. You can have lines around yourself to say, this is who I am and this is who I'm not. Okay, if you want to be able, if you want to go to bed, and have a shower in the morning, that's fine for you. For me, it's having a shower at night. Okay, if you want to stay up at night till 11 o'clock doing things, great. For me, I like to go to bed at 9 o'clock. It's being able to express that. And there's no need, this is a hard one. There is no need for you to what I call jade. All right? Jade. Write that down. Jade. And what I'm talking about here is no need for you to justify that particular line. There's no need to argue for that line. There's no need to defend it or explain it. Sometimes you might want to just pat it out a bit, but at the bottom of it all is you've got to learn to be have jade in your bones, right? No justifying, arguing, defending, or explaining. That's going to be hard. That's going to be hard because when you start doing those things, you are actually inviting the other person to critique and to say you're wrong. All right? No, you've got to learn to be able to say, no, this is me. This is who I am. This is what I'm about. I remember a pastor I knew who decided actually at 6 o'clock in the evening, that is my time for my children and my wife for us to have our family meal. And so if anybody wanted to make an appointment to see him at 6 o'clock at night, he would say, I have an appointment, another appointment scheduled for that time. He didn't explain it. He didn't say what it was all about. He just said, I have another appointment at that particular time. I'm not available. Another example is that sometimes I get invited on to various committees and various meetings and so on and so on. And a bottom line question is, what time does your meeting finish? And they may well say, oh, well, sometimes it goes stretches on till 10 o'clock. And I'll say, no, sorry, 10 o'clock's too late for me. I need to be in bed by 9 o'clock. And so that's not going to be part of it. Jesus also showed this ability to jade, okay? No justifying, arguing, defending, or explaining. When he, in his trial, he basically didn't defend or say anything about all the accusation. No. He knew his line. He knew his boundary. This is what I am. This is who I'm about. Jade. And he was able to express his I. This is what I'm on about. He knew who he was and his purpose in life. What about negotiating the lines of others? All right. Other people have boundaries. Other people have their eye. I remember quite clearly talking to someone who had come to me for some help, and I asked them, "So, what are your lines? What are your boundaries?" And the look of shock that was over their face—they're like, "What? No one's ever asked me about my who I am and my boundaries and my rights." I said, "Oh no, I want to know." Okay, so can I call you at 11 o'clock at night? No, you can't. What is the best way for me to communicate with you? Oh, well, this is the best way. And in me and doing by me doing that, I was interested in the shape of them. I was deeply interested in what their world looks like. I was deeply interested in knowing their eye, so that I could interact with them in a really appropriate way and to connect with them on the level that they needed to be connected with. And they responded to that by actually saying, okay, so the power imbalance is not just Barry and them, it's us, it's a we, it's a work, it's a good relationship to have. Now, look, others will have lines that will be different to yours, different social norms, different expectations in life. I remember helping a young lady who was quite who didn't understand social norms very well at all, and we managed to get her a job working at a local cafe. And she was very excited about this. And for her, when she went off to go off to do her first day at work, she went off, and she looked like she was dressed for a dance party. And she was very scantily dressed. And we said, "Hey, this, how you look, it's not going to be appropriate for working in a cafe." No, I'm all right." So off she went, and she came back very quickly because the boss had said, "This is not appropriate for." And so she had to learn about a boundary. And she also had to learn about some other boundaries, and that she lost the job because she started flirting with the boss, and his wife was working there, and it wasn't appropriate. It was not on. And so she learned the hard way. And she had to learn that actually, no, there are some social rules and norms that you've got to learn to live within. And so often we need to help people who may not have been taught those particular norms. This is the boundaries, this is the lines, this is what you do in particular society. And if you remember, I wrote a blog post a little while ago about this boy who was from a family where there was a lot of heroin and drug abuse, and he's always living on the edge. Anyway, he came to live within this pastor's home, and they basically adopted him in the family. And they had to teach him that, no, this is not you, this is not how you respond in our home. This is how you do it here. And slowly, 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 the boy learned about what was normal behaviors in relationships and in the homes. Look, it's okay that others may have different views to your own, but what's really important is to how you meet them in their difference, how you negotiate those particular lines, how you negotiate the difference between your I and their we. Where do they mix together? And saying that too is that there is this thing called the chameleon effect. Now, if you know what a chameleon is, it's this type of animal that clings onto tree, but they've got this incredible ability to change the color of their skin to look like the background or the surrounding branches and leaves and so on. So they camouflage themselves into that perspective. And so how they do, why they do that is so that insects and other things that they want to catch won't notice them. We can so easily be like chameleons and merge into other people's lines, merge into other people's views. You see this all the time, and some of us are really, it's not a good thing that we don't know who we are, so we let other people define who we are. And it's really important to, as I keep coming back to saying, okay, this is who I am, and this is who I'm becoming. This is me. This is you. I'm not going to be a chameleon to whatever sort of shape that you want to put on me. I am who God has designed me to be and who am I becoming. So, big question. Who do you let your inner I be seen by? What's it like to be seen by other people in the deep? That's a very scary place for some of us. And it's really probably only a place we only let a very special few people into. Who do I let my inner eye be seen by? And for some of us, that has meant a lot of boundary violations, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of struggle. The important thing to know is that through this course and through life, we can get to learn about who we are and we can define our I more and more to be more and more what we would like to be. And so the lines change, we grow and we develop and we become more and more I that is more focused on really where we want to go. So how do we say yes? And how do we say no and learn to know that it's okay for those things? I believe it's really important to learn some lines. And if you looked at last week's blog post, it was about not my circus, not my monkeys. Now, that's not something you would say, probably say directly to somebody, but it could be a little line that you say to yourself, whether you're going to integrate or help this person. Not my circus, not my monkeys, but I can lend them a net, right, to catch their monkeys or to train their monkeys. I can help them in that way, but I'm not going to take responsibility for something that is not within my control. So that's one little line that you can actually say to yourself. Another little line that you could say is, I will do for one what I wish I could do for everyone. Now, I learned that line from a pastor in the States by the name of Andy Stanley. And it was an incredible sermon. He talked about how he helped one particular lady over many, 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 many years. And he was a very busy pastor of a very large church, but he decided to actually just do for one what he wished he could do for everyone. And so that was his challenge to other people, is to say, look, you can't do for everybody what you wish you could do for everybody, but you can do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. And I totally agree. Sometimes there's some people that are just, yeah, this is the one I've got to do for one. So it's learning to say, I'm going to do for one what I wish I could do for everyone. And trying that out. And another little line that I've said to myself, I will do what I can do. You will do what you can do. God will do what God will do. I am not God. Hallelujah. You're probably saying, he's not God. Yes. I will do what I can do. You will do what you will do. God will do what God will do. I am not God. All right. The importance of these little lines is to actually help train your brain into healthy self-awareness, healthy self-control, healthy boundaries to say, this is what I can do, this is what I can't do. And you may need other people alongside you to tell you those lines again and again, coaches, supporters, advocates, are people who are going to be there to actually encourage you with those particular lines. And I think of that story about Moses out in the desert, and he had Aaron and Caleb holding his arms up either side of him, and they were there to support him. And I think we need people in our lives to support it ourselves. And I'm going to bring out my favorite little thing. It's called the nest. And I've talked about the nest in the past. The nest is all about having lots and lots of different relationships that we have that can support ourselves in what we do. And so it could be a friend, it could be your GP, it could be a psychiatrist, psychologist, the guy who drives the bus, it could be all these different people that support ourselves in what we're doing. It's the we, it's the work, it's all the relationship we have. Have you got a nest? Well, you do have a nest. And whose nest are you in? All right. It's another little concept I'd like to leave with you. The final thing, or not quite the final thing, but I would like to encourage you to think about this as quite a big concept, is moving from Pekingese to pincer. What am I talking about? I am talking about growing your inner dog. What am I talking about? Is I've got this picture, and this is a little from a post that I shared the other day, and it's moving from Pekingese to pincer. And so many of us are like Pekingese, little yappy dogs, really nice little fluffy things. And the story actually comes from real life, where I used to live in a place and we had two dogs. One was a little fluffy thing, not a Pekingese, but anybody who had come to the front gate, they would see the little cute little dog, yap, 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 and they'd just walk on in. All right. That was until we got a pound dog. Not a pincer, but similar, and he was angry. He was wild. He was he would bark and he'd growl. Nobody crossed the line. Nobody came, and the couriers backed off. And so, I use that as a picture of so many of us are like Pekingese. We have very soft hearts, and we let people in. And I would encourage you not to become a pincer, but maybe you have to become a pincer with some people, but to move towards becoming a bit more assertive, a bit more firm, a bit more aggressive, and actually just saying, no, this is it, this is this. You can't cross this line anymore. And for some of us, we may need to learn to be less pincer and more Pekingese. All right. More gentle in our approach. And I've written this acronym down here that I find really helpful. And it's BGESC. So when you're declaring your line, your boundary, make it brief. Okay, you don't want to go on and on and on and on and make it a big, long. It's just a brief sentence. It's a brief line. This is it. Be gentle. Be a Pekingese to start with, all right? Be gentle in your voice, in your tone, in your mannerisms. Be gentle. Be early, all right? Don't leave it before they've crossed the line too much. Start early. Get in there early and make the declaration. Specific. Don't make it about all these double. No, this is the line. This is the line. I'll give you an example soon. The next thing is C for consequences. Point out the consequences of what will happen if that line is crossed. All right, we'll use an example from my life for Sundays, for the Sabbath, right? Having a rest day. Brief. I have Sundays as a rest day. No work. I don't go to shops. I don't cook meals. That's brief. Gentle. I'm very gentle about this to start with. Very gentle to say, I just have Sundays off. It's my day. with my friends and going to worship, it's very gentle. Early in a relationship, if I sense people are wanting me to do stuff on a Sunday, it's very the first thing I might say on Sundays, no, I don't work. You want me to pick up something from the shops? No, I don't. Specific, okay? It is very specific. It's Sundays. It's my day off. It's very specific. Consequences if you expect me to work, I'm just going to say no. And the consequences for me too is if I don't have a Sunday off, I'm really tired by the end of the day and I'm not, the end of the week. It just does not help me. Okay, so BGESC. So here's an exercise that I'd like you to do. Think about a line that you have that you want to encourage and do a BGESC about that particular line. So in the next 60 days, because it takes us 60 days generally to actually make a big change in our lives, in our thinking patterns, to create new neurons in our brain. You've got to start exercising those particular lines and saying, right, okay, I'm just going to do this one thing every day for the next 60 days. I'm going to tell myself, having the Sabbath is a really good thing to do. Every day, 60 days. Every day. If you were to say every day for 60 days, having a Sabbath is a good thing to do, you will find a big change in your life. Again, it's just training your brain for really good thought habits. It's training your brain around a line. It's training your brain to say, this is who I am. This is my I. This is who I am. So I'm going to share back again an earlier image, which some of you may not have seen. And it's about Gloria. Gloria. I like you too. Sorry, I like you too. Let's see if I can get that image up again. And it's this one here. Here we go. Share. And here she is. So look at that image. Harmony is no longer a part of Gloria's belief system. I love that. I know some Glorias. Well, I have known some Glorias, and they're pretty, what I would call prickly pears. And I feel quite sad for Glorias that they have had to build a defense system like that. But to some degree, we all need to be a bit Gloria in, with some people and some particular things happen in their lives. And so here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. I want you to take out Gloria, take that name out, and put your name in there. Oh, Harmony is no longer part of, no, it's no longer a part of Barry's life, belief system. And I had response to one of my blog posts this week about not my circus, not my monkeys. And they said, that's not Christian. And I thought, oh. And I look at that and I say, that picture and I say, Harmony is no longer part of Jesus' belief system. How does that work? And I think Jesus, he wanted harmony, but other people didn't. All right. And he went to the cross because of that. And there's somewhere in the Bible that says, do your best to live at peace with all men. Do your best. I do my best. But sometimes I've just got to keep walking my own cross. You know? And it's going to be offensive to some people, and people are not going to like it. And I'm going to lose friends. But I'm glad that you came here today, because you must be my friends. Okay, so that's really all I've got to share. So I'm going to stop the recording now. Stop the recording.